Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Clay Travis joins us from Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio, and he joins us each Friday at this time, presented by thehomeloanexpert.com. Clay, what's up, man?
Just questioning whether the Titans are going to end up with 4 or 5 wins this year or less.
Clay, as a Titan season ticket holder, I feel that last night's game broke you once and for all with the direction of this team. Share your thoughts on that performance last night and your thoughts on the Titans moving forward.
Well, I'm writing about it right now for my Friday mailbag, but I think the last two games, I mean, because I was pretty upset with the loss to the Colts as well. Just kind of setting the stage for these two games. You have, as the Titans did, everything breaking in your direction. Andrew Luck, who you've lost to 11 straight games, abruptly and unexpectedly decides to retire. As a result, you get to replace that matchup with Jacoby Brissett, and the Colts are coming off of a tough overtime loss all the way out in California. They're on the road for the second straight week. You are coming off a massive win against the Browns. Can't have imagined a better setup to break what has been a total ownership of the Titan franchise by the Indianapolis Colts. In the last 22 matchups, the Titans are 3-19 against the Colts, which should be theoretically impossible to have happen in a modern NFL universe where there's not that much gap between the best and the worst teams in the league, all right? You lose that game. You choke it away. You look awful. You then get an opportunity to get that taste out of your mouth, and you get to go against not Nick Foles, the quarterback that the Jacksonville Jaguars have given $22 million to, but Gardner Minshew, a sixth-round draft pick who has never won an NFL game in his career. As if that were not enough of an advantage, the best player on the Jacksonville Jaguar team, who happens to be from Nashville, Jalen Ramsey, has demanded a trade and no longer has any interest in playing for the team because he got into a huge fight on the sideline argument with the head coach. There's all sorts of division in the locker room. Leonard Fournette has not been a factor in a long time. And you go out and get your ass kicked by the Jacksonville Jaguars too. So this is, to me, we got to get ourselves in front of the mirror at Baptist Sports Park and stare into our soul here, because I think what these two losses represent is the failure of the plan that the Titans have put in place. It's a complete failure, okay? If you can't beat Jacoby Brissett and you can't beat Gardner Minshew and you can't even split with them, then everything that you are building is rooted in a foundation of quicksand. This franchise is not going anywhere fast. It's not the Patriots South. It's not even the Jets South. It's bad.
So, Clay, if you're, let's say, moving forward now, plans for the Titans. Clearly, Marcus Mariota, you're saying, not going to be the option moving forward. How do you handle the quarterback situation? Because it's still probably a team that's going to go 7-9. Let's face it. They're going to finish somewhere in the middle of the league, and they're going to have a mid-first-round draft pick. Do you go quarterback automatically? Do you trade up? Do you go free agent? What do you do?
Here's the problem. There is going to be a lot of attention on the quarterback because of the prominence of the quarterback position. But the Titans have given up 17 sacks in the first 3 weeks of the season. That's more than any team has given up in the first 3 weeks of the season in 17 years. Okay? We're talking about a systemic collapse. And I think what we're also starting to recognize is John Robinson's in over his head and Mike Vrabel's in over his head. Let's look at John Robinson's draft picks as first rounders. Jack Conklin is a complete bust. That dude should never play again on the offensive line in my mind. All right. He's done. That's the first round pick of John Robinson. They're going to release him after this season. He might make $1 million playing somewhere. He's finished in this league. All right.
They have to release him. He's going to be a free agent.
Yeah, he's and nobody's going to want it. There's no way that he's a high end.
He's going to make huge money.
Well, he's going to make what?
He's not good, but he's going to make very good money.
Well, he's a bust. All right, that's a bust pick. Corey Davis. Maybe you can put it on the quarterback. He's starting to trend towards a bust pick, particularly when you consider that he was the number 5 overall pick, which is really high for a wide receiver to go. Again, trending towards a bust. Adoree Jackson, trending towards a bust. He can't return kicks, which was a big part of the reason why they went and signed him. Those are the first 3 first-round picks of John Robinson. So far, none of them have panned out. Rashawn Evans, I think it's fair to say that at best, he's a mediocre addition. And Jeffrey Simmons is not going to play this year, so we don't know anything about him. All right? Could you? Here's an easy question. Could you get a first-round pick for any of the last 5 first-round picks that John Robinson has drafted in any way on the open market? There is no chance under the sun. I'm not sure you could get a second-round pick for any of these guys. Maybe Jeffrey Simmons, just because people haven't seen him at all. I'm not sure you could get a second or a third-round pick for any of these guys if you were just like, hey, we got to get rid of these guys. We're going to the open market. What's the value of those guys? That's the 5 first-round picks of John Robinson.
You'd get one for Rashawn Evans.
I don't think so.
He's better. He's better than you're giving him credit for, I think.
And
you think you're getting a first-round pick in a trade, though?
Not a first-round pick, but you don't get a first-round pick for most first-round picks.
All right,
after
but 5
the fact.
Of them? 5 of them?
Yeah, no. The first 3 is you're absolutely on track with. Rashawn Evans is only going in the second year. He's a good player. And
okay,
Simmons
we'll
is an unknown.
The point is, he's not made a difference so far. We'll see whether or not he can make a difference going forward. My point is, you got 5 guys. And I question this decision from the get-go. Are you, like, Jeffrey Simmons, the pick? You're drafting for next year when you have a quarterback in his contract year? You don't think that maybe you could have gone out and actually gotten somebody who could help on this year's team? And how many, I mean, you, Paul, you may know the actual dollar figure. How much money have they spent on this offensive line? They got the worst performance in 17 years of the NFL in the first 3 games of this season. That is like catastrophic failure level. That's DEFCON 1, let's hit the red button. Marcus Mariota may or may not be playing at a very high level, right? What's remarkable to me is so far he hasn't turned the ball over even once. And while he may be holding the ball a long time, I don't think there are that many guys that are open. And also, this is their structure of the offense. Like, they are not getting guys that are open to him, quick hitters. They're not getting the ball out of their hands. They're not creating space at the wide receiver position. They spent a ton of money on this offense. Have you seen very much from Adam Humphries? Have you seen very much from anything structurally that is better because they've kept the system in place? They had a crappy offense last year, and they kept the same crappy offense in place this year. And so I see very little. Like, sometimes you lose a game, and you go back and you look at it, and you say, okay, like, let's recalibrate. Like, let's consider what we're doing. Like, I like the path that we are on. The Titans, after losing to Jacoby Brissett and Gardner Minshew in the manner in which they have lost the last 2 games, have to be sitting around. If I'm Amy Strunk, I'm saying, wait a minute, I'm paying John Robinson and Mike Vrabel a lot of money, and our trajectory is not going in the right direction at all. Whatever game plan they have, which is a laughably absurd one, we're going to be the Patriots South. But what does that mean? That means the players that the Patriots don't want as much, Malcolm Butler, Deion Lewis, Logan Ryan, we're going to give them more money than what the Patriots were going to give them. How often do you sit down at the poker table and end up winning a poker battle with Bill Belichick? If the Patriots are selling, I ain't buying. That's what the Titans did. They tried to create the Patriots South with a bunch of cast-offs the Patriots don't want. And guess what's happened? The Patriots are contending for Super Bowls, and the Titans are contending for being the worst team in a fairly mediocre division. Look, there's a strong argument to be made that the Titans, even after Andrew Luck retires and even after Nick Foles gets knocked out for the season, are still the worst team in the AFC South. And I don't see things getting better. I see them getting worse before they're going to get better.
Clay Travis bringing it. You got another segment with him. Clay, first, though, tell us about the home loan expert.
I'm thoroughly disgusted, but at least there's some positives. 1, property values keep going up in Nashville. 2, mortgage rates are pretty low. So if you go to the home loan expert right now, you can save a bundle right now, no matter where you are in this city, you can get hooked up with a great deal just in time. It's going to be the holidays before long, believe it or not. Everybody spends more money than they're anticipating during the holiday season. Why not go ahead and save a bundle right now by going to thehomeloanexpert.com. That's thehomeloanexpert.com. 30-year mortgage rates down around 3.5%. That's crazy. That's wild. That's fantastic. Get hooked up today, pre-qualified or refi, thehomeloanexpert.com.
So last night I'm in the elevator at in Jacksonville, and one of the guys who was working the game there in Jacksonville asked me, he goes, so are you sticking around for Tennessee, Florida? And I looked at him like, are you kidding me?
Joe Rexroad.
I think I'm sticking around for an 11 a.m. kickoff between the Vols and Gators in Gainesville?
Rexroad's doing it.
Well, I mean, more power to him on that. Clay Travis with us. He's presented by thehomeloanexpert.com.
Chad said 11 a.m. is a good thing. He loves it. He loves it.
If you want to win, it's a good thing.
He loves it.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Clay.
Tennessee's fallen so far.
Clay,
it's
let me.
Not in prime
Clay,
time.
Let me. This is where Paul's lack of any understanding on college football or how the game works really shows. If Tennessee were to play Florida at any possible time in the swamp, when do you think Tennessee would like to get Florida in terms of crowd affecting the game? And atmosphere?
100 billion percent, 11 a.m.
Thank you.
No, here's my
and
question.
Everyone listening right now rejoices and says, yes,
here's my
we
question.
Understand college football, so we understand what Chad's
here's
saying.
Here's my question.
Paul, be quiet now and let Clay answer these questions.
Would you like your program to be prominent enough that when it plays its arch rival,
but that's not what we were talking about.
Would like to have
that's
it
not what, what,
near
this is,
prime time.
This is where you don't hear, because that's not what we were talking about. I said for Tennessee's purposes,
angry.
It's better for
this
them.
Year.
I'm proud. Our team is so bad, they want to put us on at 8 in the morning.
Just admit you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I know
how about
exactly
that?
Exactly what I'm talking about.
No, you don't, because I said it's better for Tennessee. I didn't say it's better for the rivalry. I said if you're Tennessee, you'd rather get them at 11 a.m.
And I said
you don't
if
hear
you're
these
Tennessee,
things.
You'd rather be good enough that they want the game in prime time.
It's terrible for their home crowd to get sauced up and ready for the rivalry.
Yeah, well, they may be still sauced up from the night before.
Maybe.
Clay, this is a matchup where, on paper, I look at it and I think Tennessee should hang around and make it a game in the fourth quarter. But my gut tells me they're going to turn it over 5 times in the first half and lose by 30. What do you think?
I mean, I believe that the teams that I root for are destined to suck for the rest of my life, is what I honestly have kind of sadly come to the conclusion of. And so I think you're suffering from bitter, deranged Tennessee football syndrome, which is a very valid concern, right? I mean, every time you want to believe and have an element of optimism for either the Tennessee Titans or the University of Tennessee, which is the vast majority of the people that are listening to the radio right now, they just punch you right in the balls. And so if you get punched in the balls enough, you're going to be like hesitant every time somebody like moves in your direction. And I think that's kind of where Tennessee football fans are right now, not just University of Tennessee, but Tennessee Titans. I mean, look, I'm writing about this today, so I'm looking at it. The worst football in the country right now, bar none, is the state of Tennessee. If you think about the signature college program combined with the NFL team, you can make an argument maybe in New York with the Giants and the Jets, but they've got the Bills who are at least 2-0, and Syracuse was at least a top 25 team to start the year. And maybe historically in the last like 15 years or so, you could point to the state of Illinois with the Chicago Bears and with the Fighting Illini. They tended to stink. But right now, the worst combination of signature college program and NFL team in the entire nation is the state of Tennessee. And the focal point of the awfulness probably is Cookeville, but we'll say is Nashville, right? Is Nashville, Tennessee. Like, we are the epitome of awfulness when it comes to football right now, and I don't think there's any argument to be made on behalf of any other part of the country.
Clay, would you hate it if Tennessee showed up tomorrow and just went onside kick to start the game and just started unloading the barrel and everything they have to get the win? I would love it.
I mean, if Tennessee could beat Florida, let's say there's a 20% chance Tennessee beats Florida tomorrow as a roughly 14-point underdog, 20% chance, 18%, whatever you want to put on it. If they did that, then that would be a monumental win, and it would cancel out the BYU collapse and the awful performance against Georgia State. if that were to happen, that's how massive it would be for the program, for Jeremy Pruitt, for the players, everything else. I have zero faith or confidence that that is going to be happen again, because, again, if you get kicked in the balls, or kicked in the balls, if you want to say it, over and over and over again, you stop to believe that good things are going to happen to you. And I think that's where the Tennessee football program is. I think that's why things like that happen at the end of the BYU game, because losing is contagious, just like winning is contagious. And if you win a lot, you think back from the 90s, early 2000s, how many times did Tennessee have somewhat close games against Vanderbilt and Kentucky? And you were like, oh, there's no way they're going to lose this game. They're going to win because they're Tennessee and they're playing Vanderbilt and Kentucky or Ole Miss or Mississippi State or whoever the team might have been at that point in time. I think now in the last, you know, decade or so, that has completely flipped. And anytime there's a close game, Tennessee fans expect to lose, both with the Titans and with the Balls, because there's been a lot of losses and because there's been a lot of inexplicable bad losses, all combining into a variety of different a cocktail of awfulness.
Clay Travis joins us every Friday, 11 a.m. to 11:30. Clay, you brought it today. We appreciate it.
I wish I could have had something better to say.
Maybe next week. There's always next week.
Probably not.
No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. See, Clay. Hey, Clay, are you going to Jason's wedding this weekend?
Yeah, I'm not wearing a hat.
I was going to ask you if you're wearing a hat.
Your wife lays your clothes out for you. She hasn't decided yet if you're wearing a hat.
She has decided she's not wearing a hat. And also,
I'm texting her right now, putting in a vote. Everyone tweet her and say you want Clay in a hat.
I don't own anything other than a baseball cap.
So, she can make purchases.
Same here.
She's got
I'm
credit cards.
I'm not going to go buy a fedora and show up at an afternoon wedding when it's 95 degrees. Dressing like I'm selling papers in 1942.
Perhaps a newsboy hat.
How did J-Mart sell the hat idea when he came on your show? I know you had him on to interrogate him about his wedding decision.
I didn't push him on it, but here's the answer.
Why not?
Anytime you have to do something stupid and it's clearly not your decision, you just say, yeah, my wife wanted to do it, right? Like,
right.
Don't try and defend it as if, like, oh, you know, I'm a big fan of fedoras. You know, I've always been a big paperboy hat guy. You know, like, no. Like, don't try to sell it to me as, like, every married man out there will be like, oh, your wife or your fiance, oh, this was something she wanted to do. Like, if I see you, like, you know how you see, like, these couples photos get taken? And, like, you'll every now and then you'll drive or you're in a park or something and, like, you see a guy, like, looking ridiculous, getting engagement photos or whatever else it is. Like there's always that one, like, where some guy's, like, looking out behind the tree. You ever see those kind of pictures where it's like,
yeah.
Oh, like you're, like, some
perverse
park. Like, yeah, like, oh, look, hey, I'm hiding behind this tree and there's this girl in a dress. Like, if you see somebody doing that, like, the guy shouldn't be like, oh, yeah, you know, I've just always wanted to get my picture taken in a dress-up shirt hiding behind the tree in a park. Like, looking at a woman. Like, no, that's not your choice, right? Like, that is your wife's choice, right? Like, so you just say, like, yeah, she wanted me to do it, and in order for her to sleep with me, I agreed to do it. And every guy will be like, okay, yeah, I totally get it. But don't try to sell it as your own choice. Like, I love these pictures. Like, again, the tree thing is a perfect example. Like, oh, you wanted to go get photos taken. First of all, no, you didn't. But secondly, you 1,000,000,000% didn't want to hide behind a tree and look at your fiance in, you know, Centennial Park. Like, that was not how you were like, I want to spend this Saturday. So I understand why it happened, but don't try and sell me a bill of goods on why it took place.
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
I can't wait to see pictures of you in the hat that she picks, out for you.
Thank you, man. All right, I'll see you.
Thanks, Clay.
See you this weekend.
Perhaps a pith helmet.
And in all seriousness, congratulations to Jason and Abby tying the knot this weekend.
Big weekend.
Sunday afternoon. Looking forward to it.
I do know of one guy who'll be wearing a hat. Danny, their producer from L.A. Who I don't know.
He's got an Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, he's got an Oakland Raiders.
David Reed may have a hat on.
Yeah, make that two now, since I know that Clay is so staunchly against hats at this wedding. I will definitely be wearing one.
David was telling us Hutton after you left the other day that he had passed the haberdashery. And was motivated.
Oh, will you be in a newsboy? Reed
can pull off a hat.
I don't know why. The place is called Hat Works, and I checked it out online. I will not be purchasing a hat there.
Expensive.
I can't take out a second mortgage.
That's where LaJuan went to get his hat.
I'll see what I can get at JCPenney.
Can we play the hat commercial before the end of the show?
Oh, the Rhett Bryant?
Yeah. In honor of the nuptials?
In honor of the nuptials.